I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading today comes from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 19. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke up from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel.
Thank you, Donna. Appreciate the reading. Jacob runs from Esau's murderous rage. The man who has stolen his brother's birthright and blessing now has to leave mother and father, home and land, in order to escape with his life. Jacob is vulnerable, traveling alone, sleeping under the stars. He is traveling far, retracing the steps of his grandfather Abraham back to the land of Haran in Mesopotamia. He is sent there by his mother Rebekah, his fellow colluder, in the stealing of the blessing from Esau. She says, your brother Esau is consoling himself by planning to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a while until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger against you turns away, and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you back from there. Why should I lose both of you in one day? Rebekah hopes Jacob will be gone for only a short time. The phrase translated a while is literally some days, a few days. The same phrase is used later in chapter 29, verse 20, when Jacob serves Laban for 7 years for Rachel. But they seem to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. So Rebekah hopes Jacob will be gone for just a few years. Then she will send for him, her beloved son. It turns out to be in vain hope. Jacob will actually be gone 20 years, and he will never see his mother again. But that is all in the future. In the scripture today, Jacob is alone, running away from his past and uncertain of what lies before him. And it is here, at his most vulnerable moment, that God speaks to Jacob for the first time. I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. God gives Jacob God's name, Yahweh. It's translated as the Lord. And did you know if you were to be with the Jews, that name is not allowed to be said? It's that holy. They'll come out once a year and utter, the priest will utter Yahweh. No one else is allowed to say it. God also describes himself as the God of Jacob's grandfather and father, though not yet the God of Jacob himself. Notice he says, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob. He does not include Jacob. This God has a history with Jacob's family and is known through those relationships. The Lord goes on to give Jacob the promise Jacob already received from his father Isaac, the promise given first to Abraham: land, offspring, and blessing. And then God goes on to promise Jacob even more: know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. It is a very gracious promise, especially given the circumstances. Jacob has cheated his brother and deceived his father and is now running for his life. Yet God promises to be with Jacob, to keep him from harm, and to bring him back home again. Some of you may be asking, what's up with that? Look at what all Jacob did, and God's making him promises? Jacob's reaction to such a gracious promise is mixed. First, he acknowledges the holiness of the moment and of the place. He says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Jacob then sets up a pillar of rock and names the place Beth-El, the house of God. But it's worth reading a little further to see what Jacob does next. After God's gracious, unconditional promise to be with Jacob and to bring him home again, Jacob, ever the schemer, bargains with God. If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all you give me, I will surely give one-tenth to you. Wow. God says, I'm going to be with you. I love you. I'll take care of you. And he says, now look, if you do all of this for me, then I'll let you be my God. You ever done that? Bargain with God? Hey, I tell you what, if you get me out of this mess, I'll be loyal to you. How many times have you heard people say, Lord, I promise if you can just help me, I'll go to church every Sunday without fail. Most of those promises are never kept. Jacob cannot simply accept or trust God's promises. God's promises without condition that God will be with Jacob and will bring him home again. And Jacob says, if you are with me and bring me home again, then you will be my God. It seems Jacob cast God in Jacob's own image. Jacob would never make an unconditional promise. Jacob is in it for himself, and he cannot comprehend a God who would promise something for nothing. So he schemes and bargains with this God of his fathers. The Lord may be the God of Abraham and Isaac, but Jacob will claim him as God if and only if God protects and prospers him. Pretty amazing, huh? Giving God conditions. Have you ever given God conditions for your loyalty? A conditional pledge of faith and love? It's like the young man who walked into a photography studio with a picture of his girlfriend. He wanted the picture duplicated. The owner of the store noticed the inscription on the back of the picture, which said, "My dearest Tom, I love you with all my heart. I love you more and more each day. I will love you forever and ever. I am yours for all eternity." It was signed Diane. And it contained a P.S. If we ever break up, I want this picture back. It's kind of what Jacob's doing to God. You know, if you let me down, I'm going to take it all back. Jacob is a complicated figure. On the one hand, he recognizes and commemorates God appearing to him. On the other hand, he cannot seem to grasp the magnitude of God's grace. So he bargains and wrestles with God just as he bargains and wrestles with every other person in his life. However, we would be well advised not to turn Jacob's story into a morality tale, a tale about what to do or more likely what not to do. This story, after all, is not primarily about Jacob. This story is about God. That's what we're really reading, is a story of God. We will be more fruitful and more faithful if we stick to the text instead of talking about what we human beings should do or what we have failed to do, which is law, that we speak about what God has already done, which is the gospel. That's why we have gospels, to talk about what God has done. And what God has already done is to make promises to Abraham, Isaac, and now to Jacob. This God makes overwhelmingly gracious promises to a heel like Jacob at his most vulnerable moment, as he runs away from home in fear for his life, his troubles entirely of his own making. And even more than that, God fulfills those promises, as we will learn further into the scripture. George Matheson was only 15 when he was told he was losing what little eyesight he had. Instead of giving up, Matheson immediately continued with his plans to enroll in the University of Glasgow, and his determination led to his graduation at age 19. But as he pursued graduate studies in theology for Christian ministry, he finally lost his sight. His sisters joined rank and stood beside him, learning Greek and Hebrew to assist him in his studies. He pressed faithfully on. But his spirit collapsed when his fiancée, unwilling to be married to a blind man, broke their engagement and returned his ring. He never married, and the pain of that rejection never totally left him. Years later, as a well-loved preacher in Scotland, his sister came to him announcing her engagement. He rejoiced with her, but his mind went back to his own heartache. He consoled himself in thinking of God's love, which is never limited, never conditional, never withdrawn, and never uncertain. Out of this experience, he wrote the hymn, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths it flow, may richer, fuller be. Human love is very uncertain, and I am sure all of us here today have experienced rejection at some point in our lives. Like George Matheson, we should learn to lean on and trust God's perfect love. His love is our hope and our goal. Being a Christian means we learn to love like Jesus. How many here would say that they love like Jesus? Unconditionally. Regardless of mistakes and bad decisions, we still love. And though this story is primarily about God and God's gracious promises, it is worth noting those promises have an effect on Jacob. Self-centered, scheming Jacob. 20 years after this encounter at Beth-El, Jacob returns home from Haran, this time accompanied by family and flocks and herds, and he prays another prayer. And this time he does not bargain with God. This time, he acknowledges his own unworthiness and God's faithfulness, even as he reminds God of God's promises. O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your kindred, and I will do you good. I am not worthy of the least of all the steadfast love and all the faithfulness you have shown to your servant. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, please, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I am afraid of him. He may come and kill us all, the mothers with the children. Yet you have said, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted because of their number. There is no if and then in that prayer. If you do this, then. This is turning yourself over to God. This is saying, I understand. You're making some wonderful, wonderful promises. And I'm going to trust in those promises. Even the fear that I have that my brother's going to kill my wives and children, I'm going ahead because you said that you will do me good. And I'm banking on that. Instead, Jacob prays, because, therefore. Because you, God, are faithful, because you have made these promises, therefore, I am trusting you to help me now. The change is not Jacob's doing, but God's. God's gracious promises and God's faithfulness in fulfilling those promises transforms Jacob from an immature youth, to the man who founds a nation and who, on his deathbed, claims the God before whom my ancestors Abraham and Isaac walked as his God, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. Those words from Jacob, chapter 48, verse 15. Ingratitude denotes spiritual immaturity. Infants do not always appreciate what parents do for them. They have short memories. Their concern is not what you did for me yesterday, but what you're doing for me today. The past is meaningless, and so is the future. They live for the present. Those who are mature are deeply appreciative of those who labored in the past. They recognize those who labored during the present and provide for those who will be laboring in the future. Is that not our church? We can look back and see what was done for us in building this church, in making a place for us to be able to come and worship God. And we can come today in the present and give thanks and praise. And we can look to the future and say, we want this church for our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids, generation to generation. Those laboring in the future. So from that moment on in the biblical narrative, this same God will self-identify as the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. We could include ourselves in this naming if we are those who trust in God, if we are those who do not bargain with God, but say, we give you thanks for all that has happened, knowing that you were with us. Let us not have short memories. Let us remember what has happened, what is happening, and what can happen if we are faithful to God. And remember that God's gracious promises did not stop in the Old Testament, but they're here today in the life of Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us, that we may continue knowing that we have life eternal, trusting in God's gracious promises. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this church, for those who made this church possible, for those who are making it possible this day, and for those who will make it possible for people to have a place to come and worship you and to raise your name in praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we ask that you be with each one here and with those who are unable to be with us today, that you fill them with your Spirit, that you stand by us as we go out that door, that we may be faithful to you in all that we do and say, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.